Hi, everyone. Welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Chris Reisner. Today, I'm joined again by my co-host, Hashi Bai.
Hello.
And today, our special guest is Vinayak Shastri. Vinayak, you're here from Barracuda, is that right?
Absolutely.
Great. What are you here to talk to us about today?
We're here to talk to you about the next generation firewall design for the cloud.
Fantastic. Well, that sounds exciting. So let's go ahead and get right into it.
Absolutely. So today, we'll talk about the next generation firewall design for the cloud. What we will cover today is a quick product overview.
Okay.
What the next generation firewall does. Designed specifically for Azure. Data center migration is one of our typical use cases. So what do we do for the multi-tier architecture? How we actually achieve that in Azure?
So now I think we actually had, I don't think it was you, somebody else in Barracuda here a couple years ago. I imagine this is much more advanced than it would have been back then. Is that right?
Absolutely. So we've actually covered a lot more in terms as Azure actually has added more features. We've actually incorporated them as well.
Great.
So we're one of the unique standpoints in terms of how we integrate into Azure. We'll talk a lot more about it.
Great, okay.
All right, so we'll talk about visibility into the platform, into Azure, and how we integrate into Azure. We'll then go through a quick demo of the NG firewall and define a couple of multi-tier architectures, show how that works, and show how user-defined route integrates and how high availability works in Azure.
Okay.
Cool. Okay, so the Barracuda Next Generation Firewall CD. So it's designed for the public cloud. What it actually does is sits in the Microsoft Azure VNet and essentially secures that particular VNet.
Okay.
Right? And gives secure remote access for users who are actually accessing VNet from a public endpoint and provides cross-premise connectivity.
So this is something you would deploy into your own Azure account? So basically.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. We're available in the marketplace in different flavors as bring your own license. And as a pay-as-you-go license as well.
Great. Okay.
So this is a software-based firewall.
Absolutely. Solution. Yep. Okay. And we provide granular access control and granular policy management on a single user interface as well. Right. So the key use cases is typically most customers come to us to actually have it deployed for multi-tier architecture. Mm-hmm. I want to have the same level of granularity that I had in my data center. Mm-hmm. Now I want to move it into Azure, and I want to get the same granularity as well.
Makes sense.
How do I do that? IDS IPS is one of the common use cases as well. People want to have the same level of security infrastructure that they had then on-prem onto their Azure infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Distributed computing. This could be hybrid computing. This could be connecting their data center to Azure, connecting multiple VNets together, connecting high-throughput VPN connections coming in, and multiple VPN connections coming in as well. All right? And let's talk a little bit about the product itself. It actually deploys, as you guys mentioned, it is a virtual software firewall that's available in the marketplace. You can actually go ahead and download it from the marketplace and then implement it in your VNet or in your subscription automatically. So when you do that, it actually provides you both inbound and outbound security into your VNet. So any instance that you have, your whole IS platform of VNet that you actually have right now, all the traffic would have to come in through the NG firewall, would have to go out through the NG firewall.
Okay.
So you have a secure VNet infrastructure.
Right.
For incoming traffic, we have DDoS protection, we have malware protection, we have GeoIP-based control, so you can visibly see where traffic is actually coming from, and also provide you a single unified glass where you can actually see all your ACLs, all your visibility into traffic that are actually coming in, so all the logs are going to be provided by the firewall as well.
And now when you say you've got DDoS protection, exactly how does that work? Because you know Azure itself has some manner of DDoS protection, but what exactly does the NG firewall do on top of that?
So with GeoIP control and DDoS control, we provide late limiting factors and essentially layer 7 control as well.
Okay.
So into the types of applications that you want to allow access into Azure, so you visibly see what is being accessed and how much traffic is actually going into that particular application as well.
Cool.
And also, on the other hand, the virtual network, Azure Virtual Network, they have this concept of a network security group.
Absolutely.
So how do you view the relationship between the NSGs and your product?
Great question, actually. There are a lot of customers that actually use it in conjunction with the NSG. So we will bind the NSG to the NG firewall, but the NG firewall will take care of the assets behind the network itself. You can have NSGs on a per subnet basis even if you want to. You'll have to maintain them separately at this point in time. All right, so let's actually dig into one of our typical most common use case multi-tier architecture. As I mentioned earlier, a lot of customers come back to us to get the same level of granular controls that they have in their on-premise data center.
So specifically that, is this a sort of situation where if somebody's used to the firewall in their own data center, it's going to be very, very similar, you know, setting that up in the cloud, almost the same exactly, really?
Absolutely.
Is that the idea?
Absolutely. So they have the same touch and feel of the firewall that they actually get in their on-premise firewall. They have the same visibility into traffic that they would actually get with intrusion detection, prevention. Some of the qualities such as visibility with layer 7 controls, what application is being used. Mm-hmm. There are controls over quality of service, and they can actually add on to that as well.
Great. That's kind of funny, because I know we've recently talked about Azure Stack and how you kind of have the same Azure infrastructure both in the data center and in Azure Cloud as well. So it's kind of funny to see, you know, this other tool that's kind of the same sort of situation where you could kind of have almost everything be the same between your on-premise and in Azure.
Exactly. Absolutely. So multi-tier architecture, this is, as I mentioned, it's one of the typical common use cases. What it exactly is I would have multiple subnets sitting in a VNet. Now, the customer wants to basically say, I want to have visibility between my web subnet talking to my app subnet or my app subnet talking to my DB subnet. Mm-hmm. Or even any of these VMs actually talking to an entirely different VM sitting in the on-prem data center as well.
Sure.
Right? So we provide, the way that it actually works is we have a cluster of NG firewalls sitting in a VNet, a dedicated VNet in Azure. It has its own subnet in that particular VNet. Mm-hmm. And we would load balance the traffic coming in to the NG firewall as active passive instance. Mm. So we will provide full high availability both from inbound perspective and outbound perspective. We'll talk more about that. And you would use user-defined routing in Azure, which is available both in ASM and ARM, to actually point to the NG firewall as a gateway.
Okay.
Right? And essentially all the traffic going from my web to app, app to DB is now visible on a single interface. I can actually go through that during our UI demo.
Okay.
And you can have ACLs on a single window where you can actually play around with what you want to allow from an IP port protocol and from an application layer as well.
Cool.
Right? So visibility into the Azure infrastructure. This is the most common ask for most of our customers coming in, even with the NSG in play. They would actually like to see that traffic flowing in. And in some manner, they would like to integrate it with their existing SOC infrastructure. Mm-hmm. On-prem SOC team would like to see it, or the SIM solution wants to integrate it, right? So this is where we provide full visibility on a UI itself, and they can actually take these logs and then forward them out to their SIM solution as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And exactly, that's a security integration that actually comes into play. We will provide full visibility and intrusion detection and prevention system for any traffic that actually flows in and out of the firewall.
Great.
So essentially, all of these are detected. The warnings can be then triggered as notification or, again, integrated into their existing SIM or SOC tool.
Okay.
We'll also talk a little bit about the Azure platform integration. This has been really unique to us. In terms, we could actually deploy in both ASM and ARM mode. And we have templates available for ARM deployments as well, where you can actually just run a template, deploy a VNet with subnet with multiple NGs, and then deploy your VMs in different subnets, add on to it.
Very cool. And we'll make sure we include the links to those templates underneath in the show notes as well.
Absolutely. We typically work with a single NIC for all use cases. Unlike an on-prem firewall where you have an egress and an ingress point, multiple LAN point, that's actually not really required in Azure. So we actually work with the most use cases with a single NIC, but if the customer wants to actually go deploy with multiple NIC, that is an available option as well.
Okay.
Right? And we provide full inbound and outbound high availability even with user-defined routing. So that's been one of the challenges that initially came up was user-defined routing only points to a single IP. So we'll show you how we actually do user-defined routing and have availability together.
Okay, great.
All right.
If you don't mind, I may have a silly question. So you mentioned you provide this high availability option where you deploy a cluster of your firewall onto the virtual network.
Exactly.
I assume those are a cluster of virtual machines, Azure virtual machines?
There's two instances of virtual machines that are individually sitting in that particular VNet.
Now, how do they use the single NIC for?
They individually have one NIC each.
Okay.
They individually have their own IP addresses.
Okay.
And we'll actually talk about how the failover occurs. With that inbound failover, what happens is let me go to the demo infrastructure up here, and you would actually see the NG firewall sitting in its own VNet, but it has a load balancer in front of it. So for inbound traffic, all that happens is the load balancer is balancing traffic between the active and the passive instance.
Okay.
The complication comes with talk about outbound, because user-defined routing is only pointing to a single IP or an instance. Now, how do I actually switch those user-defined routing routes to the secondary IP address? So they have their individual NICs and their individual IPs. They don't share their IPs, but they can still be clustered together. So they sync the configuration automatically, so both of them are going to have the same configuration at any point in time.
Great.
All right. So we'll go through the quick lab at this point in time. So this is the lab infrastructure that I currently have with one subscription, one VNet. We recommend having, it's a requirement to have a cluster per VNet. Mm-hmm. It's a recommendation for a cluster per VNet, but you can still run a standalone for non-production infrastructure. Right. And I have multiple VNets, web database and utility VNet, where I can actually talk between the VNets. So we'll actually take a quick example and then take a look at it. Mm-hmm. So before we go into the lab, let's actually have a look at the infrastructure in Azure itself in my VNet. So I have one single VNet with multiple subnets associated with it. So I have a NG firewall has a dedicated subnet associated for itself, where I have two NGs sitting in that particular subnet. Then I have the web app and the DB subnet. Mm-hmm. NG firewall has a public IP address where I can access and manage them. Right. So let me log into my NG firewall up here. Okay. Here I'm logged into my NG firewall. This is a tool that actually runs on a Windows machine, and you'd use it to connect to multiple NG firewalls automatically.
Okay.
Right. So you have all configuration, user visibility in the single interface that you actually see in front of you right now. In terms of firewall, as I mentioned earlier, this is actually seeing any traffic that is actually flowing in and out of the Azure infrastructure.
So every request coming into your VNet essentially is showing up in here.
Exactly. Awesome. Absolutely. Even going out. So for example, if I were to see, as I mentioned, every request going through the firewall has to go through the firewall as well. Mm-hmm. So if I have to RDP to one of my VMs, the endpoints are not going to work. So you're no longer exposing each VM's endpoints out to the public internet, but making sure that you're flowing through the firewall to get to your VM. So if I were to RDP in, okay, I'm going to connect to one of my VMs up here. That's going through the NG firewall. And if I want to look at that, I'll go back. And I can filter down in terms of what port, protocol, or IP address that I'm specifically looking at as well.
Okay.
So I'm looking at a specific, that was my connection that was actually going into Azure. I can visibly see it. It's actually logged in the history. So anybody accessing in can go to the public IP, or clients can go through an NG VPN tunnel where they can actually connect to the Azure infrastructure and then use the private IP addresses for all the VMs out there.
Very handy.
Cool. Right?
So the logs, they're actually saved on the VM instances?
They are saved on the VM instances, yes.
Is there a way to offload them?
Absolutely. So a lot of customers actually do offload them out to an on-prem SIM tool. So we can offload them to any syslog server that they have on-premise or even in Azure.
Great.
All right, so any traffic that actually gets generated in Azure, I'm just going to generate some traffic out in the VM that I actually have right now.
Okay.
And as you can actually see, I'm going to go ahead and do a port-based, source-based. Sorry, I can barely see it. All right. all right, so this is going to be our logging available. So I just hit the Azure portal from that particular VM, and as you can see, the outbound traffic is also going through the VM. Not only from an IP source destination, but it's also recognizing it from an application and an application context as well.
Okay.
So I know the traffic flowing in relates to Azure, and here's the context that's actually based on.
Okay.
So this helps a lot with customers who are running SQL blob servers and then PaaS instances there. You can actually lock down and do quality of service over that particular channel as well.
Okay.
Right. And for example, now if I want to actually do cross-premise connectivity, I would actually go ahead and in my VM, if I want to connect to another VM, I'll do a couple of things up here. I'll actually initiate a remote desktop RDP connection to my other VM as well. So internally, I'm connecting from one VM to my database VM. Right? And that traffic is going through the NG firewall. So if I go back to my NG, and then have a look at some of the connections out there. That's my, the 3389 is going to be the connection that's actually going to the other VM. And I have ICMP packets going back and forth as well.
Okay.
So the state kind of gives you what traffic is going, how much is actually being used. And if you scroll down to the right, you can actually see the bandwidth used on that particular connection as well.
Very cool.
Right. So now this has been simple in terms of having one instance. How do we do that with multiple instances, right? So what I'm going to do is I've actually configured full user-defined routing pointing to one of the VMs. So if I go back to my UDR routes, I have one routing table that's actually pointing to all my VMs are actually pointing to 1.4, which is my primary NG firewall. Mm-hmm. And that's simple user-defined routing, mm-hmm. right? What happens if my 1.4 machine actually goes down? So what I'm going to do now is kill my 1.4 machine, or just go ahead and reboot it.
Sure.
All right. Okay, so I'm just going to reboot this particular instance so it actually kicks off. And my secondary instance is currently on standby. I can actually go to control and then actually see that instance is actually just sitting on standby at this point in time where none of the services are running on it. Mm. So as soon as it actually detects that the primary has gone down, my RDP connection start up, and this should actually fail over automatically.
Great.
Right, so I'm gonna keep it refresh always. And there's my connection gone down, which I don't have my RDP going through the NG. The secondary automatically takes over connections. And if I actually go to the firewall live logs, I should also see that 3389 is flowing through the NG right now. There's my connection back. Right? I'm back in my RDP session, back into the connection. I'm looking at the live logs up here. It's not connected. That was a problem. All right, so here's my RDP session that has automatically moved the same connection over to 1.5.
Okay, great. Right?
Now that was inbound. So all it's doing is the load balancer is actually balancing connections between an active and passive. What's happening on the background? So what's happening to my traffic going out to the internet, right? So this should have also failed over automatically. So we will look at the routes while this is actually happening. Mm-hmm. So we looked at the routes initially, and then you saw that it was pointing to 1.5. So as you start seeing it, you can start seeing that it's actually now pointing to 1.5 automatically, which is my secondary instance. So as soon as the failover actually occurs, the route table automatically updates. And then we start seeing that slowly the transition will happen. So this is not unlike an on-prem instance failover, which happens in milliseconds or now. This thing occurs. Here there is a little bit of resources because we're actually talking to your Azure subscription, changing the route table and everything else back from there.
Cool.
Right, so we give, so as soon as that is seen, you could actually see that the default gateway, so my pings to my internet to start working,
right,
and all my traffic going to the internet also should start flowing through the NG firewall.
Okay.
Right, so that'll be visible in my firewall rules. I'm gonna leave it on live traffic back again. So it'll actually see all the live traffic now flowing through the secondary instance going through it. And as the firewall rule automatically keeps changing back, my pings to my secondary firewall should actually come back up as well. This does take a little bit of time because we're rewriting every single table back again.
Right.
And if we go back to our route table and refresh it, we've almost written down three rules back there. So this should be coming back up.
So essentially what's happened is because you shut down the primary box, everything switched over to using the secondary, and then as soon as the primary came back up, because it was a reboot, not a shutdown, it's going to point back to your primary.
It is not. So it'll remain on the secondary until somebody actually fails it back manually to the primary back again.
Which is good because you wouldn't want to have increased downtime.
Multiple failover there. But if the secondary goes down for some reason at any point in time, then it'll flip back to the primary. But it doesn't do an automatic failover at any point in here.
That's good.
So let's have a look at the ICMP traffic that were initiated from the secondary machine and then see what's the status of that. Here's that ICMP traffic going from 3.4 to 4.5. That should be. Now we're back up and running, so we've actually seen that the traffic is actually flowing back. If we go to the UI, we can actually see that that traffic is actually flowing through the NG firewall as well, going back and forth. The ICMP traffic is back up through the secondary instance. If for any reason if the secondary were to go down, it'll fail back to the primary and would automatically rewrite the routes as well.
Great, very cool.
Right? And we have, this will take a few minutes to update automatically while that's happening. We have a visual tool which actually shows what routes are actually available on the instance and what routes are not available on the instance. So this will automatically update in a few minutes to point to 1.5.
Okay.
Because 1.4 is not available. First thing it does is actually rewrites all the Azure components and then rewrites the user interface itself.
Makes sense.
Right? So that was pretty much the demo that I actually had in terms of, this is most common use case that actually comes to us in terms of how do I do multi-tier. This actually now applies to everything. You talk about on-prem data center connectivity or multiple VNet connectivity, hybrid cloud connectivity, express route connectivity that you guys discussed in the last video. Everything applies to it in the UDR failover that we just spoke about.
Very cool.
And in the same virtual network, you can have multiple firewalls set up, and you can use the same UI to monitor all those firewalls.
Yeah, right? Typically we just need two firewalls as an active passive in a particular VNet, regardless of how many subnets you have on the backend.
Mm-hmm.
But we recommend multiple VNets would have individual firewall, multiple mm-hmm. subscriptions would have individual firewalls, mm-hmm. and then you can have the user interface. If the customer wants to have a control center, which is essentially managing multiple firewalls, mm-hmm. we do have a control center that'll actually go ahead and not just monitor, but we'll have aggregated logging in one place mm-hmm. as well. Right. Okay, and then we'll go on to, so that's pretty much the demo that we actually spoke about. Thank you for watching it. And if you guys would like to try out, the customers would like to try out, then they should go to Superhuman Labs. Try AzureMarketplace.com. And you do have a lab to try out. That's the same multi-tier architecture lab that we have.
Great.
To play around with. And we have a rich library source for videos, technical articles at barracuda.com/Azure to actually watch and learn how to do it. And if you still have any questions, you have a we have an email, azure_support@barracuda.com. You can reach out to us for more questions.
Great. And we'll make sure we include all those links underneath.
Absolutely.
Do you have a Twitter handle in case people want to reach out to you?
I do not.
No Twitter. Okay. Does Barracuda have one in case they want to reach out to Barracuda?
Barracuda would have to check in there.
Okay, well, we'll figure out what it is, and we'll get it in there.
Yeah.
Great. Well, you know, it's cool to see how you can set up this firewall and how you can see all the traffic going through and filter. That's a very cool application you've got there.
Absolutely.
So thanks for coming on and talking to us about the next generation firewall. It's fun to see what you guys have done since you were here last time a couple years back.
Yep.
Everybody out there, thanks for watching us, and make sure to follow us at Cloud Cover Show, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.